I played Clark Kent just a little bit higher to leave myself somewhere to go with the up, up, and away.
The idea that there is someone somewhere that you could be like if you were impervious to bullets, if you were able to leap tall buildings at a single bound, if you were able to do all of those things, and I think every small boy especially, at some time in his growing up, goes to bed at night imagining all the things that he would have done if, or that he would do if. This is the great thing of imagination. Sometimes today they call it wool gathering. I never did. I think it's there's too little of that. There should be more.
The adventures of Superman. Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
First thing that I ever did was 1932. The work that I was doing then, singing and acting on radio, to pay my way through law school. Graduated from law school in 1933. We did a quick read-through sitting around a table, and then we did a dress rehearsal, and then we went on the air. About an hour and a half overall for cuts and write-ins and changes and so forth. The things that should be keepsakes today and that would really be mementos of a forgotten past were the dress rehearsals every day on that show. It was something about the way-outness of the characters we portrayed and the situations we found ourselves in that we used to camp and horse that dress rehearsal as far out as you could climb a piece of scenery. On the air, it all... But if we hadn't done that on the dress to get the laughs out of our system, it could well have broken you up. It was so far out. But on the air, it all sounded real legitimate, and playing it that far out and seriously was the right thing to do. What's fantasy is delightful. What's done without begging your pardon, monsieur et mesdames. You know, so many people get at least a bit embarrassed by fantasy when they're directing it or performing it, and it loses all the great charm it could have. But if played honestly and whole hog all the way, it's great. And that almost is what this was. It was kind of a fantasy, and we get this out of our system on the dress rehearsal. And, oh, I can remember Ed Begley walking around the place after he said, "I can't go through this. I can't go through this again. You're absolutely out of your mind. Comes the air, you give a fine performance. I don't understand it. I don't know how you can live with it." Especially in the medium of radio, where you couldn't be seen. You had to depend entirely on voice. You laughed. You got, I mean, it threw you to a certain extent, but everybody always pulled together so that, believe me, it was a live show and something had to go through. And everybody rallied instinctively, and somehow the show got on with maybe the audience saying, "What was that?" You know, but that's about all. I also admit that I enjoy having people recognize me now, and I will definitely miss it when it stops. There was something, really, about being able to go anywhere you wanted to, and only your voice was your giveaway. Sometimes if you were in a store, a saleswoman or a salesman might recognize your voice and say, "Aren't you in radio?" But if you watched that and didn't give it, you know, too much of your own self, why, you could go anywhere you wanted, dressed as you please, too. I tell you, it was a funny thing, though, on that show, because when we all came to audition for this new idea, this Superman thing, we knew about the comic strip and everything, they didn't know whether they wanted one man for each part, Clark Kent and Superman, or whether they wanted two. Didn't know how it should be played or anything. And when I heard that what I was auditioning for, I fought with Bob Maxwell, who owned the rights of the thing, and I said, "This is not for me." You know, this embarrassed me. I said, "No." He said, "Well, just audition, and we'll use you all in some parts when if it goes on the air." Well, it did go on the air, and came in, and he said, "You're Superman." And I, again, took the scripts, handed them to him, and tried to walk out and get out of the show. I really fought to unload it right then and there. The whole thing embarrassed me so. Then, of course, it grew into a magnificent, really career within career. It was great fun. It was a great way to get all your inhibitions out real fast. I walked with my precious Pat, who's now married. They're all married. And when she was 3 years old, I was taking a walk with her out in Manhasset, where we lived at the time, and a little boy about four came up and walked along, looking up at me with great admiration. All of a sudden, he said to Pat, "Gee, your daddy's Superman, isn't he?" "Who, Bud?" "No, he's just an actor." It was so for granted, you know. What's the big hoop do? I mean, so? That's the way they always took it, I think. And it's the way they do today. Well, there were something like 10, 12, 15 soaps that went on within two or three floors at NBC and CBS. And you went there and you stayed and you met everybody. You saw 75 people. You got to be very close friends and swapped stories with them and had a lot of laughs. It was really great. Television, this is not true. It takes longer to rehearse. their father apart. When they're there to work, because time is fairly limited and they've got to learn their parts. Now it's not all from a script. And it's just different. It doesn't have the camaraderie, and it's too bad.